Hello, welcome to the Lightning PHP podcast. This is episode 55, and we are here recording still from the cold. At least me from the cold, because I have here, as always, Artur Sasins from Latvia, and the cold is something is. Every day he gets cold where he is, at least in the winter, right? Hello, Arthurs.
Hello. Yeah, cold is something that I know, but I can't imagine you being in a scarf in the house in Portugal. Yeah, right?
Yes, exactly. And, well, for me this is cold because nowadays I'm more like a Brazilian because I'm not used with so much cold. Because I haven't been living here, and exactly tomorrow I'm going to return to Brazil, and I was warned that there is a hell over there in terms of heat. The weather is very hot, so it will be a total inversion of weather. Okay, we are here to talk about PHP. We have many interesting topics to talk about. And we are going to start exactly from the latest PHP releases. Okay, let's share the screen here. As usual, you add the releases for the three last versions that are being maintained for PHP 5.4 36, which is mainly fixes about security, exactly. Because this is a release that is being maintained for security updates. Now, for PHP 5.5 and 5.6, it was 5.5.20, and then 5.6.4, these are releases that are being maintained. They have some security bugs are also fixed, but they also had other fixes for bugs that are not security related. I do not see anything really worth mentioning, because these releases are just maintenance releases. No new features seem to be added. Let me just double check here about it, just bug fixes, and there are some feature requests here, but they don't look like they are very, very important, well, at least the way I see it. So, well, I guess anything else you'd like to comment, Arthur? Maybe we could move on to the next topic.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well, the next topic, we are going to start talking about one regular initiative that is organized by the PHP classes site, but is interesting for the whole PHP community, because it talks about the trends of the PHP community in the last year, what PHP developers have been looking for. So this is the PHP Zeitgeist initiative, which consists of gathering statistics about the keywords that are being searched on the PHP classes site. Obviously, the PHP classes site is visited only by a fraction of the PHP community. It's not exactly all the PHP developers go there. Many developers go there. It's still a sample of the whole PHP community, but it is interesting just to analyze what are the trends in terms of what the PHP developers have been searching for the past year. So this initiative works first gathering the statistics of top search items, the search keywords that were entered in its PHP class search page. Then it builds a ranking, and it takes out the keywords that were not ranked in the top thousands in the past year, and from those keywords it just gathers like the first one and well the first 100. So let's take a look. As we may see in the PHP Zeitgeist page, where you can see all the rankings for the last 15 years, starting from the year 2000. We can see the ranking here with all the top Zeitgeist keywords. These are not the top searched keywords. These are just the new keywords that were not present in the past year. And you can see like 100 of them. These are very diversified keywords. So in this article, in this article, I have gathered these topics, these keywords by topics, and I could find a pattern like eight topics of that I could group these keywords. The first one was basically API and web services, which seems to be something very interesting for many PHP developers, especially those that are developing mobile applications that require APIs. On the other hand, there is also interest to call other site web services using their APIs, and then you can see lots of keywords of related with those APIs. So this is probably the most important topic because it had many related keywords. And then there comes the topic about databases. Database access seemed to have been also continued to have a great interest, especially those related with MySQL and PDO, because MySQL extension is being deprecated and discontinued. So in the future PHP versions, developers will not have access to the old MySQL extension, so they need to update their code to move on to MySQL and PDO. Security also continues to be a very important topic. This is great because sometimes there are other developers of other languages that complain that PHP is not being the PHP community is not very concerned with security, which is totally wrong. There are some developers that are not so much security aware, but the PHP community as a whole is very interested and concerned with security matters, as you can see by many of the keywords that became more relevant in 2014. And then there are other topics with less interest, but still high interest, like file manipulation and format conversion, which is always a topic of great interest, especially to manipulate documents generated by Microsoft Office and others. And then the topic about new frameworks is also interesting. In particular, I notice a great interest on frameworks about JavaScript, like Angular, because it seems that those frameworks are being used more and more by by mobile application developers, and that is very interesting.
Well, it's interesting because AngularJS is like a JavaScript framework. So why would people actually hope for it in PHP classes?
Yeah, I think because they are looking with some special integration, because AngularJS will only do the browser side end, and maybe they are looking for something that can help them. And it's not just one keyword. They can see here Angular.
Yeah.
And then AngularJS.
Oh, it's probably the same, meant the same, but Yeah, interesting that AngularJS is actually used to create a single page web apps. So yeah, they're probably looking for additional framework to allow them retrieve.
Yeah, that's true.
Refresh. Yeah.
I don't know if it would make since I have not been using hybrid application development. I don't know if they will also use them for developing those types of mobile applications. Now, what is your experience? Could AngularJS be used for in that context, or maybe some other libraries would be more appropriate?
I have not worked with AngularJS specifically. I've been using Backbone.js, which seems to be doing similar stuff but in a different approach. And basically what they would require is an API that allows you to fetch data from database or any other storage and display, basically through AJAX requests.
Yeah.
Integration there.
Right. Well, one way or the other, you need to do the server-side integration because, the web application only has the client side and the server side end. And I don't know if developers are looking for something specific to take advantage of. With Angular, because since it's all Ajax, maybe it's not just Angular. Anyway, this is just a reminder for the fact that other JavaScript frameworks, you mentioned Backbone, but could be jQuery or some other, do not appear here because they are they did not become relevant this year. They were already relevant in past years. So the PHP Zeitgeist only denotes interests for that became relevant in the past year. In the previous years, they may not have been as relevant or were not relevant at all. So that's because I remember that AngularJS is not exactly new. It's maybe just it's trending this year more than the previous years. Okay, continuing, there is also the topic related with e-commerce and business matters. Just a few new interesting topics. And then there are two final topics that I like to highlight because they were not trending in the past year. One is related with hardware. We can see that some keywords like Raspberry, IBEX, I think it is related to USB, if I'm not mistaken, and then PHP printer. Well, these are all different types of hardware. Other types of hardware related keywords also featured in previous years, but these seem to become trending more this year than in previous years.
Yeah.
And then, maybe because all this interest in drones and other autonomous devices and robots and everything, now developers are more interested about this. Maybe they want to run PHP on Raspberry Pi devices. I don't know. Maybe that's why they are being searched here. Then finally, there is one topic that is related with PHP installers in general and mainly Composer. Well, Composer is not exactly new, but at least in PHP Cloud Society, it become more visible because in 2013, Composer PHP classes added support to install packages. So PHP classes act as a Composer repository. And then later in 2014, there was support being added to Composer to import packages from private repositories with some automation to enter any passwords. So this this become very, made the composer even more useful. So, well, this is all to mention that PHP installers in general are a topic of great interest from PHP developers, and this just confirms that there is this trend to among PHP developers to get more and more interest about this. Well, other than that, I don't know, Arthur, if you have any other comments you'd like to make.
No, that's actually seem quite distinctive and interesting groups. I would say that maybe hardware group misses keyword Arduino, but I don't know if it's even possible to integrate something with PHP with the web service or something like that.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure, I didn't look, but maybe Arduino was already a topic in the previous years, a training topic in previous years. You can let me take a look. Arduino. Yeah, exactly. Last year, Arduino was a training topic.
Yeah, so
it makes sense. Yeah, so it's not that Arduino is not the trending topic in 2014, it's just it's not a new trending topic. That's what the PHP Zeitgeist initiative tends to highlight. But okay, well, about this, the only thing that I would like to mention is that the PHP Zeitgeist initiative is always useful to help developers that are looking for ideas to implement innovative components, because they can look at these trending keywords, which reflect the fact that there are many users looking for them. And if there is no package for some of these purposes, they can get ideas for innovative packages. So that's basically it. So given this, we are going to move on to the next topic, which is something that has been having a great discussion in December, but already in January, the discussion continues, which is related with the proposal to have PHP 5.7 release before a PHP 7. There was a proposal for this before, but now there was a final proposal for this new release was issued in December. There was a great discussion, and there was already a vote to have this PHP 5.7 release with some improvements that probably would still be consolidated in PHP 7. But the proposal was practically rejected by now, and so this means at least, unless something somewhat unexpected happens, there will be no PHP 5.7, despite there was this proposal. And actually, talk about this proposal for this intermediate version, like a few months ago. I think it was September or something. But since it was rejected, there will be not a PHP 5.7 release, which means that the next major release will be PHP 7. So all the proposals that targeted PHP 5.7 will only make it to PHP in PHP 7. Well, there have been lots of discussions about why this happened. Well, I'm not sure if we got it right, but I think they were somehow concerned with PHP 7 being delayed further, because then they do have more intermediate versions to maintain and more work for the developers working on those features. So the features that will now move on to PHP 7 only will give developers less work to maintain the dumps. So I guess that's the reason why they rejected this proposal. And it's okay just to to update whoever is concerned about these versions and was not aware that the PHP 5.7 will not happen after all. Okay, I don't know, Artus, if you have anything else to comment.
As you said, if I would be a PHP core developer, I would probably want to skip also as many versions as possible in the new version and not maintaining any versions anymore, because we already have PHP 5.5, 5.4 for security fixes to maintain, and
I think it makes sense to jump directly to PHP 7, although that is a major release, probably with much more backwards and compatible changes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, let's wait and see if that will be a better solution, or probably for users will give more problems, because, you know, major releases, users tend to not jump on that bandwagon at least right away. Often they wait some time to see how much backwards incompatible changes will break their code. So, okay, let's wait and see. I think the schedule for PHP 7 still maintained. It's being targeted, if not mistaken, to October 2015. There's still plenty of time to implement plenty of all the remaining work that needs to be done. Okay, so let's move on to the next topic, which is about some new proposals. Some are formalized, others are not. Let's start first with this one about comparison chain. So this is not really a formal proposal, or at least I did not find an RFC for this. And the idea is to allow to have expressions like this that allow to have conditions in if statements or others that evaluate conditions that can, for instance, evaluate if a variable is within a certain range, which in practice would translate to two comparisons. But it would be look more elegant, at least I think, in my own point of view, that you can just tell PHP to evaluate if these two conditions are true. And it's also saying it would also be possible to have multiple variables being compared in a single expression, but I don't know. This did not have much discussion. There is no RFC so far that I have noticed. But maybe I've missed something. Arthur, so what do you think about this proposal?
I don't know. I think it's just a sugar syntax. And my processor right here can better process Boolean expressions and operations like AND OR either than working like that in the intervals. So
yeah.
I don't really see about it. That maybe just me.
Yeah, it wouldn't allow you to do anything that you could not do before. It's just it's just syntactic sugar, and you look at it probably more like you look at those expressions in your math classes.
Exactly. More human. Maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't even remember any time that I would have to do such interval comparison or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Now moving on to another proposal. Well, this one is about new safe calls. Because if for some reason you have a chain of calls in a Fluent, some class that you have provides a Fluent interface that you call a function and it performs some action and it returns the object itself, so you can pass that object to the next function call that is chained. So the idea here is to allow new to be passed as objects. So they have this question mark arrow operator that you could use see your expressions, I'm trying to look at it, so it would look more or less like this, and I'm not sure, here is a better example, and if you put a question mark here, it would allow the object to be null, and if the object is null, nothing would happen, it just return a null, because that's what the object is, and this would avoid the case of having the language throw an exception for calling a function on a null object. Well, I don't know if this is already being voted. No, I don't think so. But well, this is the proposal. I'm not sure. I cannot give a personal opinion on this because I don't. It's not my style of programming of using chain method calls. This is a trend that started a few years ago. I don't know if for those that apply it, it would be useful. Artus, what do you think about this proposal?
I can't remember what was the language. Once I used the language, we could treat it as an object. So basically, it was safe to learn it because any method could be called upon it that it's not fresh. And it was an interesting approach to make it. So that really made some things easier. In this case, it would be something the same, only the object is null, it's automatically returning null instead of following the method at all. So there's that. But for example, if you look at JavaScript, which I think is the language, especially in jQuery, is the king of chain, and if you can see a lot in there. And I think how jQuery looks at this approach is that even if you query some kind of DOM element and it doesn't exist, it does not return you, it returns a jQuery object, which is empty, still an object which can be changed further. So that would be another approach. But like you, I probably did not have a need for something like that in PHP. So many folks need it, and this request would be interesting. But what I would want to point out is actually the first time that I see something like that is that, let me find it, where it was, that they are referencing, that was something, okay, either way, basically I think that it would be really hard to implement something like that, and I don't know if it would pass or not. Okay, I can't mention here, but I remember I read something about that it would be quite difficult to implement it because it would not resolve to a ternary break or something like that, and it would be highly optimized. Let's see if that would bring more advantage than it is.
Well, there are always complications when trying to implement things like this. Well, I do not see this as a really important feature. It just seems to be yet another of those features that will pile up, but only a few developers will benefit from it.
Here is an interesting point. In prior art, it says Hack has already implemented a proposal identical to the.
I see.
Hack. So yeah, that's what I found that it is really interesting. It's the first instance of referencing to a Hack feature in RFC. So at least that I see.
Yeah. So they are basically playing catch up on features with Hack. As I mentioned before, the Facebook Hack language is the greatest competitor of PHP, which is still almost PHP, but okay. Okay, now moving on to another feature being proposed by Guilherme Blanco from, is proposing something that I think is somewhat inspired in Java language and other languages, which is to have a package level for determining the access protection to functions and variables. The idea here is to Let me share the screen here so we can look more at the message. The idea is to have a variable, classes inside a certain namespace that they would not be visible to other classes or calling code outside that namespace. And this makes sense because sometimes you only want to have utility classes that are just for the purposes of those packages that are declared inside a certain namespace. I think this makes sense. It probably would help organizing better your code, but I've seen several people complaining that implementing this in PHP will bring a lot of complication, difficulties to maintain, anyway, I only see a pull request. I did not see RFC, unless this is an old proposal. Yeah, well, this it says here that an RFC will be created together with voting once I'm able to gather some considerations. But there is already a pull request to implement this. So I think the RFC should appear now. This way, I'm afraid this proposal will not go far. I don't know, Arthur, what do you think? Did you get the same idea?
Well, I don't know. I don't really see maybe much use for it. If you have a library, if you try to wrap in a class, that maybe you have some other functionality that you use a utility class or you use a structure as a class, and then you might want to keep it private for some reason, mostly not to pollute the scope, but here you go, you have a namespace, so you don't really pollute it. And limiting it so others won't be able to use it, I think it's not really needed, maybe. In your library, then they you mentioned that something like this comes from Java, for example. Yes, in Java there is a logic for private classes and public classes, but I think it comes due to the limitation of Java's namespace, because the package names and namespace always related to a file structure. So how file is named, then your public class should be named the same, and all other classes in the file should be private. They can't be exposed to the file structure and namespace limitation. So there is a specific case why this is there, not because if it's nice to have feature.
Yeah, yes, I think so. I really, well, having those access protection levels, private and public, and what is the equivalent of friend classes or something? Well, it doesn't matter. What matters is that if you use this in PHP, it will help preventing the inadvertent uses accesses to classes and objects, variables, and functions that were not intended to be exposed outside a certain scope. The idea is to sort of implement a package level scope that is defined by a namespace. But I really don't see many cases on this. It would be really essential to have. So given the sort of lack of acceptance of this proposal for now, probably it will not go any far. Well, that's my opinion for now. Okay, moving on to the next topic. Let me share the screen here. And on. Okay. There is this proposal to have case-sensitive symbols in PHP 7. And this is yet one of those proposals that aim to make PHP more like other languages, that on which variables and functions are, their names are case sensitive, and if you use a different case, you refer to a different variable. I'm not really sure if this is useful. it will break the compatibility of I mean the code that runs in PHP. So far, I know that many people for being able to put function cases in either case insensitive way, they will have code that will break in the future if they implement this feature. So I don't think this will go very far. What do you think, Arthur?
Well, if we are talking about PHP 7, that that would not be the only feature that would break compatibility. But from my point of view, I don't know, maybe it's some kind of OCD or something like that, but I think I'm keeping all my function and class names in the same case, and I just can't use them in different cases. I don't know, it breaks me inside. So even if this feature would pass, I probably would not have any problem with it. So I don't mind it. I'm mostly sure that most of my code would work either way.
Sorry, I muted myself. I was asking if you think that you always, in your code, you always use the same case conventions and it will not break any parts of your code if this case sensitive proposal would pass?
Yeah. I'm basically sure about it because I don't know, I just, even when it's somebody else's code, I just can't stand when I see that they define function were in one way and then use it in the other case. I don't understand why.
Yeah, and what about the code code that calls the core PHP functions? Because at certain points the documentation used to show certain case conventions and then others, and people looking at it, it used the same conventions in the documentation, but when it changed, they also changed. Or they would prefer some other convention of their own and not, and probably have mixed case conventions in their own code that would work, but with this proposal it would not work anymore. Would you still have code that like that?
I think all the PHP internal functions I use only lowercase, as that was the convention, lowercase and underscore between the words.
Yeah, well, I mean, not in your code, but the code that calls the core PHP function. You always use the same case conventions, or did you always have used the same conventions over time?
Yeah, I think I've always used the, as I said, lowercase underscore separator.
Yeah,
I see it mostly in the PHP documentation used now.
Yeah, well. I think this proposal will not pass, so probably it is not even an interesting discussion. And so we are going to move on to one final topic among these regular topics of interest of things that happen in the PHP community, which is related with an article that is not exactly new. Let's see if it can. I think it's mentioned November. Okay, let me share the screen here. Instead of just talking. Well, this is about a PHP denial of service attack implemented at the level of JSON data structures. JSON is nowadays being used by many, I would say, many web services. Tech requests, and in this article here it mentions that if you have a JSON object.
I think JSON is used as an example, but this vulnerability will probably work on anything that uses hash table. So if serialization uses hash table, it would also probably work on it. And what it actually does, it provides the worst case of the hashing that it has. That's why it consumes lots of CPU cycles to work on it, and basically hangs freezes your computer server.
Yes, I was looking here because I was trying to see what is the more clear example of the problem. Well, basically, in the past, there was already this problem regarding the request parameters. If you an attacker could craft a security attack based on special keys for an associative array that would make it collide in the implementation of the hash tables that store those keys. There were some measures implemented, I think, in PHP 5.3.9, or, well, it was about that version number. And that would allow to limit the number of keys that an array could have. However, this time, despite the problem of the key collision is the same, because it pertains to the way that hash tables are stored by PHP, this would attack JSON decode function. And in JSON decode, I don't know if it would make sense to limit this to 1,000 entries and of the array. So I think this can be a problem that could sort of, if not halt your server, at least make it very, very slow. And looking at the discussions of this topic, let me see the exact message. There was, I think it was Pierre Joy that mentioned this. Yes, the issue has been reported on the security at php.net list, which is being discussed and analyzed. But this is a private mailing list that is only accessed for a few members of the PHP core team. And they are still analyzing and discussing an eventual solution for this problem. Personally, I don't know if there can be a solution that probably will get in the way, at least to which certain APIs work, because they can take a very large number of array elements, and this could cause the eventual collision of parameters that could make your server work very slow. I think this is the problem that they're trying to figure a solution. Maybe if they implement a parameter that limits the number of entries that a JSON encoded object could take, it would solve for now, but the application developer would have to set that parameter accordingly to their needs, or else they could experience some odd errors. I don't know.
That would not solve the root of the problem, and something again other would come up that uses the same hash table. So really hard to come up with anything, because it doesn't matter what hashing algorithm you are using. People know what it is. You can find special keys to make the collision. So either you would have to apply some kind of salt to each request, random salt, that would probably have impact on performance.
Yeah.
But at least you would not have the predefined keys to attack. You would have to randomly try to find them, which would be kind of impossible. And the other would be to use some other algorithm to process this realization.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The way I see it, what they could do is to have a parameter that applications could configure, maybe even configure at runtime. So when you call JSON decode function, if it finds an object that has a very high number of elements, it would just fail. JSON decode and then your application would have to handle the failure addressing the code, like returning false or null or whatever is the more appropriate value, and then your application would treat it as if some web service call just sent some invalid parameters. It's better than having JSON decode take your server down, like making it very slow and suck the whole CPU. That's the way I see it would be better than having what we have now. Basically, we are saying that practically all PHP servers are vulnerable to this eventual attack if they take JSON decode parameters supplied from user data, from requests, from eventual web service calls. I don't know. I don't know if what you mentioned was contemplating this possibility.
JSON, it could be also kind of JSON API in PHP. I don't know, very hard maybe to really use, because JSON decode probably would not actually provide any error, and you would have to call specific function JSON web server to check with the status code. So either way you need to use it, you need to check it. But that would be probably again another modification for the code, because it would be had a new error status to compare with or something like that.
The way I see it, this is can be serious to many PHP based web services. Probably not just PHP. Maybe other languages may also be vulnerable. And if you have an API, and there are many heavy duty web services out there that take requests in JSON format, if you do not treat this with a certain protection level, it may just bring your server down. It's make it very slow. And I don't know. Right now, that's what seems to happen. I don't know if that parameter that in PHP determines the time limit of execution of a script would stop JSON decode to stay there forever. I don't know. I'm not even sure if the problem is just up to the level just in the code or the hash table implementation that would access the elements. Probably it's both. I don't know. And this needs to be analyzed by security experts that are certainly more experienced than I am. I'm just giving my opinion here. So anyway, we have discussed this extensively. So let's move on to another section of this podcast. Now, one regular section about all which you talk about the Innovation Award winners and nominees. So for the JavaScript Innovation Award for JavaScript, we are going to talk about the nominees of October. They were voted on in November, and then in December the results come out, so we can talk about them. And Arthur, which ones would you like to comment?
Share the screen. So the first one I'd like to comment is a package named BigQuery Dialog Ajax Content, developed by NDP Trix from Romania. And what this package does, it retrieves the contents to display in a dialog from a server. Basically, a dynamic retrieves it via AJAX request. So this could be used also like loading a template or a dialog from other remote source or something like that. So that's this one. That's why I like this one. And Andy got one book of choice by Pact for this package. The second one I wanted to comment is a package named JavaScript Holiday Dates by Year Paul from France. And basically, this package extends the date object, JavaScript date object, where it provides an example where it basically calculates the holiday days. Let's see, unfortunately, you can see the call here. You can, yeah, you can see like get Easter, get back, I don't know what's the holiday is, but basically, yeah, there are some holiday names where you can provide them, how to calculate them.
Yeah, because those are holidays, they always happen, but there is some kind of formula to calculate them because they are related. They are
like first Sunday of the, for that month and something like that.
So there is a way to calculate them, but not exactly a fixed day in the year.
Yeah.
So that one is from Pierre Fouque. Okay, so on my behalf, I would like to comment an interesting package. Let me share the screen here. An interesting package from Pierre Henri Soya. He developed a way to retrieve data from GitHub profiles and repositories. So it sends HTTP requests to the GitHub API to retrieve several types of information. And this is interesting because GitHub is a very popular project by many developers host their projects there, and this with this package you can retrieve information about those projects.
So a developer can like implement in their website to display all the repositories they maintain and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. So on my behalf, that's open up because it's there are only three packages. So let me comment now on the Innovation Award ranking. Ranking for 2014. So we have already ended the year, but there are still some votes to compute. But so far, the leader is Thomas Bjork from Sweden, and followed by David Castillo with Thomas had 4 packages and 15 points. David Castillo 2 packages and 13 points. Pierre Fouque 3 packages and 12 points. Jamie Bow 4 packages and 11 points, and with Jordan Marmolejo 2 packages and 10 points, and then several other authors with one or two packages and less points. In terms of countries, so far France continues to lead. It is in pretty good shape to win the Innovation Award of the year by country. There are 5 packages and 21 points. Then they're followed by Sweden, 4 packages and 15 points, by mostly, practically all by Thomas Bjork. And then Mexico with 2 packages and 13 points, Spain 3 packages and 12 points, Canada 4 packages and 11 points, Italy 3 packages and 8 points, Hungary 2 packages and 7 points, India with 2 packages and 6 points. Then Colombia with 1 package, 5 points, and Brazil 1 package and also 5 points. They are tied. So we still have 1 month to go. I mean, for computing the results, because the nominees of December were announced just a few days ago, and they'll be voted in during December. I mean, during January, and then in February the results come out, and then you have finally the final list of winners by author and by country for 2014.
So, what to do to other authors? Will there be the similar contest this year?
So, what do you mean?
Well, should they start submitting for the new year country?
Sorry, I did not listen.
Like, will there be the award winners by country of 2015?
Yes, of course. Actually, it is already started because all packages will be nominated by the end of the month. So if they are published or read in January, they will be nominated, of course. So now let's talk about the Innovation Award of the PHP site, PHP Plus site. And to zoom here, but it's a bit slow. So we are going to talk about the winners of October, who were nominated in November, and then in December the results come out. We had 11 nominees. It's quite a lot. It's great to see all this action. So, Arthur, which one would you like to comment?
Okay, first one that I would like to comment on is a package named PHP Check Resource Usage by William Sambramus from Iran.
Yeah. And can you increase the zoom level?
More? Like that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Basically what it does, it queries the usage of the server, where PHP runs, like CPU, hard disk, and there is also a demo, for example, where you can see what kind of information is provided. So it probably uses some kind of native components, because you can't do that with, I think that with plain PHP. Do you know more about it? No?
Yep. Sorry?
Do you know more about how he actually does it? Because it can't be done with plain PHP, right? You can't query the some server vault or something like that.
I think it may be using some external programs. Or
probably.
In Linux, I think there are some virtual files that you can query and obtain the CPU.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you don't need an external program because you can open those resources as files.
Yeah. And Puya received PHP Storm IDE for this package. Okay, and the second one I want to mention is PHP Webcam Fetch by Migrovo from Germany. And what this package does, it fetches the images from remote webcams, which is quite uncommon for PHP, but okay, it also makes sense that it's a remote webcam, because you would need to fetch from some other server probably. And here's an example how you can use it.
Yeah.
Probably basically it's a specific webcam that has an image and which is to query and then deliver to the website, to the server. But still, it seems kind of interesting and. Mike got one downloadable ebook of choice by O'Reilly.
Well, for my part, I also wanted to mention several packages. Let me share the screen here. So, the first one I'd like to mention is PHP Word Frequency Analysis by Alejandro Mitru from Argentina, and this package is very interesting. There are several other packages to extract frequent terms from packages. But this one is interesting because it could extract frequent terms, not individual words, but could be multiple words. And it is interesting, although there are similar packages, but with other limitations. And for now, Alejandro did not yet pick his prize, but there is a delay. There are so many winners. The previous winners, they've got in greater positions, are still picking the prizes. So I hope they can be patient, but their turn will come. So another picture, though, the comet, is one unusual one called PHP Historic Timeline Generator. It can render images with a timeline of historic dates. This is better shown with a screenshot, as you may see here. It's quite neat. You have a timeline of different dates, and then it puts renders labels on diagonal, and it's very interesting. You can build nice timelines if you want to generate timelines for showing in articles or things like that. So this one was developed by Ihor Komin from Ukraine. Congratulations for his contribution. Now, let's talk about the rankings of the Innovation Award of 2014. By country, by author, Kiwang is leading. He's in pretty good shape to win the Innovation Award of the year because he has 8 packages and 42 points, and he still continues to send innovative packages every month. Second place, Orazi Prince from Italy, 3 packages and 24 points. Poya Sabramoz from Iran with packages and 22 points. Patrick J. Lasso from Spain, 2 packages and 20 points. Jacob Fogg from United States with packages and 19 points. Wap Morgan from Russia, 2 packages and 16 points. And it's Gerald Manolis, 3 packages and 16 points. Everton Rosa with 2 packages and 14 points, Rashak Shahan, packages and 14 points, and Habius X finally in 10th place from Iran with 1 package and 12 points. And this is leading to a very interesting ranking by country, because the lead country, which is in pretty good shape to win the Innovation Award, because there is only one remaining month to be accounted, and Italy is leading with 9 packages and 66 points. But Iran comes right after Italy with 7 packages and 65 points. And, I think looking at the nominees of December, which is the last month to be accounted, there is only one nominee from Italy, none from Iran. So practically, Italy already won by country. Although the results will only be officially announced next month, I think by country is pretty much decided that Italy will win. Still, Iran has made a great effort. Many authors participated to achieve this result, and they almost got ahead but did not make it, but still it's great because they sent many great innovative packages. Then in third place,
one thing that you can finish with the third place, it's about what I wanted to say. You see that France is in third place, but if you look at the author table, then Chihuang basically rocks the top of this year. It was not enough to bring the France to the first place, so it's really a team competition. You need more members.
Exactly. That's a very good point that you bring in, because the idea is the authors collaborate encourages each other. So the more authors participate, the greater are the chances to win the innovation award. And I think Qiwang is in pretty good shape to win by author individually. But it sent 8 of the 11 packages that France got to be in this position. So, as I said, it was not enough. Well, maybe next year, France developers, as well as other countries, can organize and get also in a good position. And then Spain comes with 8 packages and 47 points. Brazil with 8 packages is 42 points. United States, 6 packages and 42 points. India with 5 packages and 31 points. Russian Federation, 4 packages and 30 points. Romania, 3 packages and 17 points. Germany, finally, 4 packages and 17 points. Well, this has been a very exciting competition this year, and I hope next year we will get even more interesting packages. And maybe authors can communicate, organize themselves and give them ideas to each other. Also take advantage of the package recommendation system, because sometimes there are some requests for packages that do not exist. They can take ideas for innovative packages. And from what I could gather, well, in December it was a sort of weak month, because it's practical holidays, and there are not so many packages being submitted. But right now in January there is a boost of new packages. Many of them are innovative, and it seems that 2015 will be very promising. And well, let's wait and see.
So basically, regarding this podcast, this is it. We have covered many interesting topics, many things about the future and security, and also the past trends. Basically, that's all. I don't know if Artis, if you have any other comment you'd like to make.
Yeah, the one comment that Happy New Year, guys, and wish you all your projects to succeed in this new year.
Yeah. Well, that's a great wish, and I would like to also wish the same for everybody. So one might be off, that is off for now. Bye.
Bye.